beautiful face. I wanted love, but not for myself, but for the girl, so she could love herself. Oh, my next girl. All right, well, you wanted to start this podcast, so you can start it this week.
All right, welcome to Stuck in the Middle of Somewhere, everybody, with your host, Joel Gardner, and me, I guess, the co-host, Derek Sweet.
Derek Sweet. How's it going, and Derek?
Good. I have something I wanted to say right off the bat.
Okay.
If you are not a regular consumer of Beats...
Which I'm not.
You're not, eh?
No, not at all.
If you're not, whoever is feeding you Beats should be obligated to warn you the effects on your feces in the morning, because Beats are very red and very staining, and waking up and shitting blood is not the most comfortable thing to wake up to in the morning, being like wow,
your shit was red, dude, blood red.
Like, was convinced
this morning?
Yeah, I was convinced I woke up in shit blood. Like, I was positive. I was like, holy shit, there's blood in the toilet. I'm like, I need to go to the fucking doctor.
So how did you come to the conclusion that it was Beats? You just like finally just took a step back and settled down. I was like, okay, wait, what did I eat?
I told Kelsey, who is a regular consumer of Beats,
okay,
and she started laughing.
So she's had the blood shits before.
So she knew, and she told me a story about her uncle having this happen to him as well, and he went to the emergency room for 4 hours and waited to find out that he ate some Beats.
4 hours?
Dude, you have no idea how scary it is to shit blood. I was like, oh my god, I have to go to the doctor immediately, right? Like, I was so scared. And what was I going to say? But if you go to the emergency room and you tell them I'm shitting blood, the first question they should ask is, have you eaten any Beats?
Have you eaten Beats today?
Because most commonly, I would say, that's probably the most likely thing.
See, I used to love Beats as a kid. And then one day I just had bad experience with a Beat. And ever since that day, I just cannot go back to eating
like
Beats.
Like what? It roughed up your sister?
To be honest, I can't remember what it was exactly. One of those like...
The Beat stole your girlfriend?
No, just the way it tasted. It, not necessarily it tasted bad, but like the texture of this certain Beat just kind of almost made me dry heave in my mouth.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of them when I was eating them this time, to be honest. There's much better... side dishes.
Vegetables? It is a vegetable beet, right?
Take just as long to prepare. Like, I mean, really, you got no reason to eat a beet.
Do you always have to cook beets? You cook your beets?
Yeah. I've never eaten a raw beet. I bet you Dwight from Office would eat a raw beet.
Yeah. Was that this episode that Dwight had the beets on his hands?
Yeah, the beet juice. Yeah, no, that's perfect. That's a good example. You'd think after having just watched that episode of Office and having eaten beets the night before, I would have put two and two together. But when you look in the toilet bowl and see blood, you don't really start thinking rationally. You just start thinking, I need to go to a fucking doctor.
I gotta go to the fucking doctor. Oh, man.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, right on. The Office was pretty good last week. I thought Eastbound and Down was hilarious last weekend.
Eastbound and Down was really good.
Or that was, yes, on Sunday.
I was like halfway through the episode. I was like, man, I don't know about this. And then by the end, I was like, as soon as Stevie showed up, I was like,
my favorite character on the show by far. He is hilarious. When he's on his knees at the end and crying and... Oh, God, it's great.
Please, let me rip this shit up with you. That was so funny.
Last week you were talking about, when we were talking about Family Guy, you said Todd McFarlane is making a game. Now, did you actually mean Todd McFarlane or did you mean Seth MacFarlane?
Todd McFarlane.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, not the Family Guy. No, I'm talking about the guy
that just
Spider-Man.
I got confused when I re-listened to it, because we were talking about Family Guy and then all of a sudden you said, oh, hey, Todd McFarlane is making a game.
Kingdoms of Amalur.
Okay, what's that about?
Kingdoms of Amalur. It's the Reckoning. It's a game designed by Todd McFarlane. Here, let's pause for a second, watch the trailer, and then we'll talk about it. All right, we're back. So we just watched the Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning trailer.
Yeah, it looked interesting.
by the lead designer of Oblivion.
Lead designer of Oblivion, art directed by Todd McFarlane.
Todd McFarlane and
some storyteller named
New York bestseller. It looked okay. Nothing to really get me going.
If I don't see gameplay, I don't give a shit.
I couldn't really care less at this point in time. It's obviously way too early in development.
And that wasn't even impressive CG, to be honest.
No, it wasn't at all. Guillermo del Toro, the director of Pan's Labyrinth, he is also making a game. But unfortunately, he's making it with THQ.
Oh, well. So we'll just have to buy it new.
Buy it new, really.
Can't get it used. Well, you can, but you'll only be able to play the first three levels. Well, the last level will be will be locked only for new buyers, or you can pay 800 points and buy the last level.
Yeah,
they pretty much did that with Prince of Persia. No one complained then.
Yeah, that's true.
That new Prince of Persia reboot, the story concluded pretty much in the DLC. It was much more of an ending than the game actually had.
Yeah, it is true.
And I never complained. I loved it. I was like, yes, they told us what happened. Wicked.
Yeah. So, speaking of what's his name from Pan's Labyrinth,
Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, he's no longer on The Hobbit. I don't know. He was linked to The Hobbit, and then it was taking way too long, so he said he's not going to do it anymore. But supposedly, latest news is that The Hobbit is now officially on.
Nice.
So
it's not Peter Jackson doing it?
Yeah, it's still Peter Jackson. No, it's Peter Jackson. He was going to be director. Guillermo del Toro was going to direct it. And then
and Peter Jackson was just going to write it or something? The screenplay?
No, he produces it. He's producing it.
Oh, who directed Lord of the Rings?
Peter Jackson did.
Okay, so it's weird, but okay.
Yeah.
So Peter Jackson's going to direct now, or somebody else is going to direct?
Somebody else. I still think they're looking for another director.
Huh. Weird.
Yeah. But it's officially back on, which is wicked.
Well, awesome. So more games. It's Tuesday.
More games. It's Tuesday. Yeah. Well, I guess if I could first go back and...
Hey, that's wicked that we do this on Tuesdays, because games come out on Tuesdays.
Well, that's. I wish you'd do this on Wednesdays, because then it'll at least give us a chance to play the game for a night.
Playing the games. I don't know what
you're doing. Yeah, fuck you.
Working, taking care of your baby. No, that's true. That's not true. I had to work all day, but I got to play a bit.
Well, last week, hey, let's go back to last week when we were talking about Dead Rising 2. I hadn't got it yet, and now I finally got it. And, I love it, man. I think there's a lot of things not to love about it. It's still, when you get down to it, a pretty shitty game. It still has the same problems.
Well, I thought you had a very accurate observation back in the other room.
Yeah, when we were talking about the combat system.
Yeah.
And that it's pretty much built. I mean, when you go into the boss battles, they're terrible, and they're not fun, and they kind of just seem to be an inconvenience because the combat system is so bad.
Yeah. For the bosses.
Exactly. Yeah. It is awesome for taking out a crowd of zombies. And that's what it's built for, is to be able to take a swing and take out 10 guys.
Yeah, those boss battles, I always feel like I'm just hacking my way through them. I'm either getting my character so powerful that you kill the boss in 3 hits.
Yeah.
Or I'm hoping for some glitch, the boss gets stuck in a corner so I can just hit him from behind, because...
See, I wish I wouldn't have tried to be saving everybody that my first time through, because Dead Rising 2, it kind of falls under the problem of you have this awesome world, this playground to get your weapons and just go and slaughter and have fun slaughtering zombies, but you never have time to do it because you're always running to the next mission.
Right.
When we were playing last night, I think I killed maybe 25 zombies. We played for about a half an hour, but we were just running straight to the missions because I was running out of time.
Yeah, but you got to get your character leveled up, and rescuing survivors is the best way to do that.
Well, true. That is true. So, but I guess the second time around, I can't wait to go and play it just to explore the actual... Dead Rising 2 would be a perfect open world sandbox, not have to worry about these timers. I just wish the timers weren't there. I know it puts in a lot of, in terms of the intensity and oh shit, we gotta go.
Yeah.
And that's another thing I heard a lot of complaints about, was the save system. Personally, I don't mind it. All these games that come out nowadays, they have these automatic save systems where it's you die, okay, I'm only 10 feet back, and I'm boom, boom, boom again. I'm just until I finally can beat it. Whereas Dead Rising 2, if you fuck up and don't save for an hour, you're shit out of luck.
Yeah.
And, and you got to go back and do that whole hour again.
Yeah, it's true. And on that note, I was trying to play co-op with this kid. I think I already told you that I was trying to play co-op. I assumed it was some kid, and he just didn't know how to play, and he let his survivor die. And the only reason I'm there is to get experience, right? And just obviously, killing zombies is some BS experience. I'm not making it so... After leaving his game and coming back and him being the only person that accepted me again after three more people rejected me, and he's still just killing zombies, hasn't even opened his maintenance rooms yet. He's that low level. I just walked over and killed him. And then he's lying on the ground waiting to be rescued, and I quit the game and left. And then he said, I know, it was like I was a griefer, right? Yeah. But I was so mad that he didn't know how to play the game properly that I was like, fuck you, wham, wham, wham. And then I took off. I was like, oh, you're wasting my time. I was like, I'm here to get experience, not to kill zombies and have fun.
Ever since you told me that, I actually changed my status to friends only in terms of
because
I rejected people all the time, and then you told me about that, and I'm like, yeah, I guess that would kind of suck for like trying to find a game, and you get into a game and you get rejected, and then you get in the next game and get rejected.
Yeah.
So yeah, after that I actually turned it off.
Well, I'm just gonna let people join me from now on. No one's asking anymore.
Yeah, yeah,
I don't see that many people. No one, not that many people asking. Not that many people in the Terror's reality. I don't know how many people bought Dead Rising 2.
I don't know either.
Fuck, I think
everyone's playing Halo Reach still. For fuck's sake! Yeah, like, even though I still log on to my thing, 10 out of my 11 friends are playing Halo, and you're playing Dead Rising 2.
Yeah. Well, now that it's a week later, I'll be playing. Seriously, it's been hard for me to say I'm going to finish Dead Rising 2 before I play Enslaved, because I'm just a sucker for these movie games that want to be movies.
Yeah, you got Enslaved today.
Yeah, I got Enslaved because I played the demo. I wasn't even planning to get it, then I played the demo, and it was so wicked that I was
kind of one of those games that kind of came out of nowhere. I didn't really hear about it, and then all of a sudden there's a demo.
Yeah, apparently it was pitched as a CG movie.
To be honest, I thought it was an Xbox Live Arcade game because the graphics are pretty bad.
Yeah, they're not fantastic.
That great, you know. So, and then watching you play it tonight, I got to see you play a little bit. I haven't actually played it myself, but I watched you play a little bit. It does seem kind of clunky.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you think about a Prince of Persia and how smooth those are,
yeah,
and then you're looking at that, it does seem kind of slow and clunky. But like you were saying, it's kind of just a timing thing. And
it is, yeah. It's a Zelda jumping system. If you press jump when you're not near a ledge, it rolls. And yeah, if you're near a ledge, then it waits till you're right at the ledge and jumps at the edge. So
yeah,
you got to get used to that. But yeah, it is clunky. It's not like the greatest game in the world. The platform especially, you can't fall off ledges. Like,
yeah, I know. Yeah,
there's no death like from falling off ledges. You can't make mistakes that way. So the platforming is really just an on-rails platform, and you might as well just point the joystick in whatever direction and press jump and hope you get to the next place.
From watching some videos, it kind of seems like the combat doesn't get much more complex than what I saw you doing.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of worried that it might get a little bit repetitive in terms of that.
You're really killing my buzz for this game, man.
I'm sorry, man.
Let me explain. The graphics
but
suck.
But you said
the combat's never going to change.
You got it primarily because it was this movie-like game. Originally, you were telling me, it was
pitched
game
as
movie.
A CG movie, and they decided to make it a game. That's what I heard, yeah.
And you could tell that. You could definitely tell that just from even that first level watching you play.
Yeah, no, and I got to say, I am a sucker for cinematic games. There's people like Jarrett decries it as the end of video games. It's like, why don't you watch a movie? And it's like, because I like interacting with my movies. I like being the hero rather than just watching the hero.
Yeah.
And like, I find it to be a more immersive experience. And it's too bad that you don't get the quality of storytelling in games that you do in movies, though I'm not going to sit here and argue that games have great acting and stories. This one, yeah, I'm pretty happy with. The facial expressions on it really communicate a lot.
It looked pretty good. The voice acting was well done, and yeah, it looked all right, but I'm kind of under the same boat. I'm not a huge fan, and I've said this before.
You even commented, though, wow, I didn't play this with surround sound. It makes a big difference when you actually have those.
Yeah, I played the demo, and that one sequence that happened, I was kind of like, oh, yeah, that wasn't too exciting when I played it. But then I came over here and the surround sound, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Whoa.
No, I know. Jared made fun of me.
Get me some surround sound.
Jared made fun of me for so long for getting Orange Box for PC and 360 because I wanted to play Team Fortress 2 on PC with all you guys. But I wanted to play Half-Life 2 on my big TV with my
surround
sound.
There's no question. Single player experiences, why would you not have a big 52-inch screen and surround sound?
Yeah, no, it changes. Surround sound is as much of a difference as going from standard definition to high definition.
Yeah.
It's that big of a difference when you play a game in terms of immersiveness. And
man, so yeah. I was walking around today and I saw this big, you know, those like lottery, like bingo cages where you put balls into and they spin the cage around.
Yeah.
And immediately thought like, oh man, I bet you I can combine a battery with that and roll.
Oh, you're talking about Dead Rising.
I'm talking about real life. I'm now finding myself in real life, like looking at objects and being like, dude, I bet you I could. Oh man, that would be deadly.
You should watch the Inside Xbox thing on Dead Rising 2. They go through some not just combinations you can make, but combo weapons that you can use with other combo weapons, like freeze zombies, then use the guitar to smash them all. And
no way.
Shows really? You get into the big.
Intro. See, and that's what I'm talking about. Right now, we don't have the time to do that. Like, I don't have the time to. Find that kind of stuff out.
Yeah, well, because you're too weak at the beginning of the game. You need to at least get 7 or 8 inventory points, get your attack power up. That's why I'm just focusing on getting as many survivors as I can, getting through the games, getting the story, finding out what's happening in the story. And then when I'm done, we'll go through. There's modes that open up after for just running around, screwing around.
Really?
Yeah, like in the first game. You never finished the first game, so you don't know this. But yeah, there's like 72-hour mode opens up where it's like...
Oh, no, yeah, I finished the first game where the 72-hour mode came out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you didn't finish the first game.
No, yeah, I eventually finished it. It just took me like 10... Because I kept fucking up. Like, it's saving, and then I was saving, and I accidentally shut it off, and then lost all my data, and stuff like that kept happening.
But yeah, I never finished saying that about what was connected with it when I killed that guy before. I joined his game. He was probably playing for an hour without saving because he didn't know how to play the game, so he probably had saved. So me killing him, I just got a message from him 5 minutes.
You stole an hour of his life, man.
Yeah, and then he sent me a message an hour, like 5 minutes later, saying,
Why did you do that, dude?
And I blocked him and gave him a bad review for saying unsupportive conduct, didn't know how to play the game.
He's just some kid that hopped on. No, I'd never got Dead Rising. This is probably his first Xbox game ever.
Somebody says, hey, this guy wants to play with you. He's like,
he's
yeah.
So excited. He's got a friend. He has no idea you have to save your game. And you come along and fucking kill him.
That's funny shit. So one last video game thing I want to talk about is NBA 2K11. I won't talk about it for too long.
Yeah,
but I did get to play it today, and Jordan is Jordan up the ass. It's Jordan everything. It's so Michael Jordan, you have no idea. It's like Jordan, fucking everywhere in that game. But oh my God, he's good. Like the game opens up that you press start, and before you see a menu anywhere, it's the 1991 finals between the Lakers, Jordan's first time in the playoffs, and like it's introducing players, and Jordan's at the back, and he turns to the camera and goes, you ready? And it goes out, and you're playing 1991 playoffs before you see a menu or anything.
You're playing the game?
Yeah. It just throws you in, and it's like that's how it starts the first time you put the
Weird.
Game in.
Weird.
And then I played the whole game.
That's
I played
crazy.
For half an hour. And seriously, you get that's why my Facebook status today was just give the ball to Jordan. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, seriously, it's unbelievable how good he is. Like, you give him the ball, he can jump from the free throw line and dunk it, and like
it's Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I know, man, it's amazing. And they totally got the tongue hanging out and everything, so they got all these Jordan challenges. That there's 10 Jordan challenges, so you have to like go back and play some of his most historic games and reproduce his performance. So he got 68 points in that game. You have to get 60 points. 10 challenges.
You have to try and recreate the game pretty much. Yeah.
And so they have the one game as well where he got 34 points even though he had the flu, and apparently he collapses during the game, and that happens.
And that happens in the
it
game.
Happens and he collapses at one point. So they totally recreated all his best games, took all the players from back then and recreated them, the opposing players and the players on his team and everything that were in those games. So you got Magic Johnson and
Larry Bird and all these
crazy older guys, right? You got all them in the game now. And once you complete the 10 Jordan challenges, then you can open up the Jordan Legacy or the My Jordan Career mode. And you can go through his entire career from his first rookie year, and you can like play through it as him.
Oh, okay.
And do that. So,
taking Jordan out of the game, the whole Jordan aspect out of the game, how is the game?
My only complaint is that there's too much shit in between whistles. The game,
oh, okay.
The game
and you can't about, skip by it or
yeah,
anything?
Exactly. The game used to take about 20, 25 minutes to play a game. Yeah. Now it takes like 30, 35. It's added like an extra 10, 15 minutes to the game just in waiting for the submissions to happen and for the play to come around. So that's a bitch.
I wonder why they made that choice.
But other than that, they've made just amazing improvements everywhere. You used to be able to just pass the ball to whoever you wanted, even if there was three guys between you. Can't pull that off anymore. Guy has to be open if you're going to pass it to him. So they've totally fixed the game in that regard. Blocking shots way better, defense, everything about it is a huge improvement. Like, it's just a little bit slower.
You're saying how you think it's one of the best sports games ever.
Yeah, no, well, IGN said it's the best sports game of this generation. So I think they just mean it's better than Madden 11 and NHL 11 if you're going to try and
compare. Yeah, what is this generation?
Yeah. I didn't know. They said not only is it the best basketball game ever made, it's the best sports game of this generation. I didn't know what they meant by that, but it really is phenomenal. I also don't like that they took there was a whole bunch of things they had in it before that made it really seem like a real basketball game, like product placement, like on the scoreboard, the sprite was next to it, and the scoreboard was up all the time, just like it is when you're watching on TSN or something.
Yeah.
And they took that out now just so that the whole screen is basketball.
It's basketball.
Which I can see why some people want, but I kind of liked how it looked like a... Maybe there's options.
Like you're
maybe,
actually watching a game.
Maybe there's options to turn that on, and I just don't know about
probably.
It.
Probably.
I really...
Well, if you haven't been to the menu yet.
Yeah, seriously, no. And I will say they did fix the menu. They got standard fucking vertical menu with the options,
okay,
just like the EA games. And
yeah, you showing me the menu of 10 was... Whoa.
Yeah, no, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, what were they thinking?
And they find it's the first NBA 2K game I've ever played that has a decent menu, so that's awesome, too. Anyways, yeah, enough about not. NBA 2K.
I watched Machete.
What are you doing?
I'm doing my little fucking machete dance, man.
Joel's doing a machete dance, just so you know. What is that? That's the new
Robert Rodriguez
movie, right?
Yeah, it's Robert Rodriguez. And it was originally one of those fake trailers that was in between Planet Terror
and
Death Proof. So it's one of these Grindhouse films or Robert Rodriguez tribute to Grindhouse films, which it starts off with the whole, with the grainy film and all that, which I kind of wish he kept throughout the whole film, which he doesn't. He kind of reverts back to, you know, a more clear picture.
Guaranteed a producer other than Quentin Tarantino made that decision, but go on.
And it's classic Grindhouse. I mean, it's got the cheesy, purposely cheesy lines and acting and over-the-top violence, you know, and people are, like, loving it. But, you know, coming from I'm a fan of Grindhouse. Like, I actually love the old Grindhouse films.
And you didn't mind the new ones either, the one Quentin and them did, right?
I hated Death Proof.
Death Proof.
Love Planet Terror, but I fucking hated Death Proof, man. It was so boring and just one of Quentin's worst films, I think, by far.
Yeah, the thing that annoyed me most was people saying that was classic Quentin dialogue. I was like, no.
Oh, God, it was terrible. It was so bad.
Maybe if you think that Quentin dialogue is dumb bitches talking about stupid dumb bitch shit.
Yeah. But, this whole thing about, you know, his about, you know, Planet Terror and Death Proof and now Machete. I mean, Grindhouse now is, you know, Grindhouse films kind of already merged into mainstream movies, you know. Like, mainstream movies now are Grindhouse films. Mm-hmm. Like, what were Grindhouse films back in the 70s and 60s and 70s?
Yeah.
There was kind of a purpose to them back then. But now, it's like, is there really a purpose for it? It's kind of an entertaining film. I mean, if you've never seen Grindhouse films, then yeah, definitely go see this film because it's great.
It's a novelty.
But yeah, it's definitely a novelty. Yeah. And if you want to learn about it, about good Grindhouse, I mean, watch American Grindhouse, the documentary, which is like a wicked documentary about the whole history of it and how it did merge into the mainstream.
Nice.
So, yeah, I don't know. It definitely wasn't up there on my favorite list. Damn, Dexter was boring, dude. I might be giving up on Dexter.
This is what we were saying when we were watching it. It was about 15 minutes before the end of the episode, and I turned to Kelsey and I said, "This shit better pick up damn
quick." Oh my god! To be honest, I haven't finished the second episode yet. I'm about three quarters of the way through, and then I was like, you know what? I don't think I can even make it through this next 15 minutes. Yeah, I'm so bored.
You do got to finish it. It will get back. The third episode will be something new. And this is one of the things that I said, they had to resolve the Cody Astor stuff. You can't just have...
She was getting so annoying, though.
But you have to resolve that. I'm just saying, I know she's getting annoying, but I'm saying you can't just have Dexter moving on and going and, all right, we're going to start with a new serial killer plot. You have to address the fact that these two children's mother just died. And two episodes is the bare minimum you can give to that.
Yeah.
So they do... I promise they do move on. I'm pretty sure they've written Cody and Astor out of the show now. So... You have to finish the episode.
Okay. It's obviously a big giveaway that he's not looking after them by the end of the episode.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to ruin you, but I'm trying to explain a point to you that the show will move on by episode 3 now for sure.
If they don't do something,
I gotta tell you,
soon.
Dexter taking Harrison along with him on his little surveillance and his doing, you know, and eventually
I didn't even get
to
that part, man.
Oh.
Didn't even get to that
part. I thought
that
was like halfway through.
Maybe I didn't even make it halfway through. Maybe I just thought it was that long enough. That kid couldn't take anymore. But I haven't seen him taking Harrison out.
I think where they're going now, which is that Dexter has a baby with him that he has to take, and he can't leave the baby alone now when he goes out. I'm pretty sure
he's
going to
teach
Harrison
the kid how
him.
To be a serial killer.
I think he's going to be bringing Harrison with him everything he does now. I think he has to, unless he has somebody watching him. But how is he going to explain to Deb?
Because
where
now Harrison was born in blood, that he's going to turn out just him.
It's something he has to do because he has to watch the baby. Somebody has to watch the baby, and how does he explain to Deb? I got to fuck off and go kill some people at 1 a.m. You got to watch my baby. So the only option he has is to bring Harrison with him. So I'm pretty stoked on it.
Yeah,
him sitting there talking to Harrison about the guy he's gonna kill, I thought was a trippy scene. You gotta see it. I'm sorry if anybody was gonna watch this shit, but this is
no one's gonna watch Dexter, man. Who watches Dexter? Shit.
Yeah, I guess. So, anyways, I'm getting excited about season. What is it?
Four. Season five.
Six.
This is. It could be six.
Season.
It is season six.
No, it's not. Season five.
Oh. I so many shows to try to keep track of.
So, do we have anything else to talk about?
Oh, I'm trying to kick my energy drink habit.
Are you?
Oh, yeah.
You're drinking pop now?
On the pop, I guess.
He got pop. Trying to kick the energy. That's better. Pop's better
than
energy.
Well, it all started. It pretty much started while we were filming Pure Ownage. Because when we were filming Pure Ownage, the TV series, while we're on set, our set deck, his girlfriend was working on the new Resident Evil movie.
Yeah.
She was working because it was filming in the same area. And every morning, a case of Monster energy drinks would be brought into Mila's trailer.
And they're delicious.
But Mila doesn't like Monsters.
Oh, okay.
So she was like, just please get rid of these. So his girlfriend would take them and give them to him because he knew that me and Jarrett were loving energy drinks at that time. So he would bring in caseloads of fucking Monster. So by the end of the TV series, we had like 4 or 5 energy drinks a day we were drinking.
Wow.
So then I got it down to one a day, but they're dangerous. I guarantee you 5-10 years from now, they're going to be like outlawed, man.
Yeah, there'll be kids that like have serious mental problems and like...
It makes me sick. Like I get headaches and my stomach hurts and then I drink an energy drink. I feel better. It's
Is it passing the Food and Drug Administration, FDA. How come
FDA?
How's it passing FDA regulations?
Know,
it's so bad. That's
because
so...
it's such a new product that there's no laws on it right now or standards or anything.
Well,
the other day I was at the convenience store and an 8-year-old girl was going up to a counter with an energy drink and I was just like, really?
Yeah.
Really, dude? Like, I guess you can't refuse to sell that to her,
seriously.
But do you not feel bad selling that to her?
There isn't
Should she be buying that?
There's an 18-year-old required on the energy pills that you buy at 7-Eleven.
Really? Well, I don't think there's any restrictions on the energy drinks.
Huh. That's, they're messed up. I drank.
Could you imagine a 7-year-old drinking an energy drink?
Yeah.
My first energy drink I drank, holy crap, I was bouncing off the walls, man.
Really? Huh. Yeah, no, I loved my. I think my first exposure to energy drinks was Jaeger Red Bulls.
Was with alcohol.
Yeah, I don't think I ever had them straight.
Love
up
how it says right on the bottles, "Do not mix with alcohol." Yet you can buy Rockstar and vodkas in the liquor store.
Seriously.
It's crazy shit.
It says do not mix with alcohol. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it says them on all, except for the ones that are already come with alcohol, I guess.
Yeah. What did you think of It's Always Sunny with the boat?
I thought it was a good episode. I thought
it was funny.
Yeah, it definitely was funny. That interaction between Dennis and Mac.
Yeah, that was amazing.
They're talking about the implications.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was funny.
It's the implications.
Let me get this straight. You're not gonna hurt these women, are you?
No, but they don't know that.
Then he looks at the old,
you're not in any danger. See, again, why are they in danger? They're not really in danger. No, that was classic, brilliant, It's Always Sunny writing.
Yeah.
Like, that is why the show was so good, was because it was filled with that dialogue
filled with that
first.
Stuff before.
So I got maybe they're getting their chops back. I don't know.
Yeah, it could just be in a couple. I mean, like I said, I liked the first episode. The second one was a downer for me, but... Yeah, this latest one was great.
Dee dancing with the inflatable.
That was hilarious,
dude. She was doing such a good job,
exactly,
man.
Exactly like one of those inflatable guys.
Yeah, I guarantee she was dancing, and one of them said that at the back, and they were like, guaranteed offset, she was dancing. Like, you look like one of those inflatable things, and they probably all laughed so hard. We're like, hey, we have to put that in the episode. Because it was remarkable how well she was, like, she was obviously trying, but by the end when she was dancing next to it, I mean, holy shit, they looked so similar.
Anyways, I don't have much to want to talk about. Go watch Eastbound and Down.
Support Eastbound and Down.
Yeah, it's such a good show. For those that don't know what this show is about, it's about an ex-ball player.
Kenny Powers.
And I always forget what the guy's name is, the guy that stars in it.
Danny McBride.
Yeah, Danny McBride. Oh, my God. Yeah, it stars Danny McBride, and he's the next major league ball player who's trying to get back in the big leagues. And right now he's down in Mexico trying to make his big comeback. And this show is just brilliant on so many levels, I think.
Yeah.
So, go check that out. Music this week was by a new band I discovered. Well, I just discovered the Black Keys.
Oh, hey, that's one of Kelsey's favorite bands.
Man. Yeah, I had no idea. Like,
yeah, they're amazing.
They have like 10 albums out already and great stuff. I just heard them a couple of weeks ago for the first time, and it really got me thinking, like, where am I getting my new music from? I don't really listen to that much new music anymore.
Yeah.
What happened to my source of new music?
Yeah,
and I don't go to gigs anymore really that much or shows. And then I actually watched another great documentary the other day called Punk's Not Dead, and it got me thinking about all these old punk bands
I
used to listen to, like Operation Ivy and Minor Threat and Bad Brains, and you know, that's kind of where I got all my music from, was going to these shows and hearing other people and interacting with other people that have like minds in terms of what music they're listening to at the time, you know. And
I'm going to see Japan Droids tomorrow. I don't even know who they are.
The Japan Droids.
You don't know who they are?
No, but it sounds like a great name.
Yeah,
are they Japanese?
Kelsey says no. Kelsey says they're amazing, and like, I've heard some stuff, and it sounds very punkish to me. It's not my thing, but I'm looking forward. Apparently, they're amazing live performers.
She went and saw Primus the other weekend. She's telling me about a band that opened for them. God damn it, I'll have to ask her what their name was.
Yeah, she follows all this stuff, man. She gets newsletters and emails sent to her.
She's going to be my new source of music because I'm falling behind, and it's sad.
The number one way that she seems to follow it, not number one, but one of the huge ways, is she follows like the Polaris Awards and like award, like minor, like lower key award ceremonies that actually look for new avant-garde bands. And so she's like, oh, who's nominated for this? And not, and she actually goes and buys their CD just if they're nominated for an award, right?
Cool, that's cool.
And so then like she goes, she won't steal music, refuses, buys everything.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't help myself.
I know. It's too expensive.
I'll buy it if it's really good, man, but
yeah,
it's hard to justify going out and spending money on something that you... Mm-hmm. I guess nowadays you can listen to pretty much the whole album, and then that's what I do. I steal the fucking music, and then if it's good, I go buy it.
Yeah. I wish I could do that with games, but I won't hack my Xbox, I refuse.
Yeah, see, yeah, I wish I could do that with games too.
But you know what? I guarantee you know what happened when I did when I hacked my PS2? All that happened is my collection of games turned into a bunch of shitty burnt CDs, and I actually never did go out and buy another game.
You just became lazy, pretty much.
Not lazy, but it's just it's really hard to justify spending $60 when you don't have to. That's a lot of fucking money to throw down on just a 10-hour game, you know? Like,
yeah.
Enslaved. So it's like, I could see myself falling back into it, and I love my game collection. I love going over to my 360s and seeing like 50 games there now, I think, is there. I got a lot of games.
Yeah, good. Yeah. The enemy Spider-Man this week.
Yeah, you're born Spider-Man.
Nice. I'm going to go play some Spider-Man.
I got so much to play. It's retarded.
Even though you keep telling me about how bad it is.
The controls are you'll play it, and it's like every time you sit down and play it for the first 15 minutes, you'll be like, these controls suck. And then eventually all of something happens, and you become a ninja.
Nice.
And you're like, you're flying around, and you're Spider-Man. And like, yeah.
But okay, I'm going to go become Spider-Man.
All right, cool. Good talking to you. And
yeah, it's good talking to you too, dude.
It's like we just got a phone conversation.
Oh, it's kind of funny. We don't really talk about too much anymore these days because we always want to save our conversations for the podcast.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm Derek Sweet, Twitter, Sweet Comedian.
No, Derek Sweet. Joel F. Gardner. My website's joelgardner.com, and you can follow me at Twitter at Joel Gardner, bitches.
There's various S&M porn sites that you can find both of us on as well if you look hard enough. So
that's true.
That's both.
I've seen them. Me and you did.
I am not talking to Carlo anymore.
All right. Goodbye.
That we just created terrible rumors. Thank you.